Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
That's right. We're back. Your favorite irreverent, relevant, and radioactive talk show hosts delivering conservatism with a bite are back. Actually, Tex is on special assignment tonight, but you are live with Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City, where even though your congressional critters are absent, there's been a lot of interesting developments as of late that appear to be about war, but it's much bigger than that, because what we're talking about here is this a constitutional republic, or are we ruled by elite masters? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Call-in number is 646-649-1013. We'd like to hear from you about what your thoughts are on what's going on in Syria and how it's affecting our politics, especially vis-a-vis the actually conservative Republicans that might still exist out there. While we're at it, let's do some housekeeping. If you're on Facebook, go to the Tex and Rex Show page, like the page, and you will get notifications in your newsfeed when we are broadcasting and other valid and important information. Also, join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia, where we have clips and videos and other things that we play on the show, so you can follow along. And if you're in Blog Talk Radio, right underneath the show icon, there is a follow button. Just click on that, and you'll get notifications in your Blog Talk Radio profile and affiliated email. Also, right below the graphics, there's a button that says Download Episode. If you right-click on that, you can get an MP3 of the show, and you can email that to people, burn a CD, get the information out there, because as crazy as things seem, and they are likely to get worse, this is the moment, and now is the time for authentic constitutional conservatism to make a comeback. And there are lots of people out there working hard. Ben Swan is making some great videos and information. There's Christopher Green of Alternative Media Television. There's a lot of people working hard, and now is the time for us to be the voice of the people over and against this corporate-controlled media. And in fact, a lot of the backpedaling that you're seeing in the Imperial City is happening because of alternative media, and it's important that you work hard to get it out there, because most of us are operating on a shoestring budget or no budget at all. You are the only people getting the word out there, and it is up to you because this is your country. Speaking of people who are working hard, we've got someone from Coalition of Freedom on Facebook. Check out the group. It's a group with heavy discussions about the crises that are going on and everything else that's happening, and getting some action going. So we are joined live. Captain Caveman, you're live with Rex.
How are you doing?
I'm a little fired up, you know. It's been a while, but yeah. I'm fired up. Lots of stuff going on.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, scanning through things, reading articles, you know, last minute, things I've tripped over and that type of thing, and just thinking about, you know, how do you keep people focused on the important issues?
Right.
You know, and one of the first things I would say is don't watch cable news. That would be the first thing, because if you watch cable news, that you have no idea what's going on. I actually sat down for, I forced myself to watch a little bit of Fox and then a little bit of CNN, and I was listening to their commentators spilling all their bull crap. And if you don't know the truth, if you don't do the research yourself, then they actually could make sense to you. And I it just amazes me that such a huge chunk of our country is still programmed by those talking heads. I mean, you would think that after, especially, you know, since 9/11 forward, that there's been an awakening in this country, and of course the advent of social media, that people are finding out a whole different story, you know, through their groups, or whether it be Facebook or, you know, groups they belong to or whatever. You know, there's a lot going on right now. Sorry, I mean to run so
long. No, I think you nailed it. You're absolutely right. Look, the fact is, I think what everybody really has to understand is there is a mutually beneficial interest and link between the giant Wall Street corporations and banks and Washington, D.C. And so they take over the so this corporatism just takes over the media. And unless you have a free press checking an out-of-control government, then you're going to be misled and you're going to go along with their idiotic programs. And that's what they have been able to do to us for so long. But this time it's different. You know, I mean, when Bush went into Iraq, he had like 72% of the country behind, you know, the invasion, whether it was, you know, whether they were lied, whether he was misled, misinformed, whatever, it doesn't matter. 72% of the country was ready to go. 9%, and I don't even think that's real. It's probably fabricated or just, you know, people who answer polls without even thinking about it. But, you know, most Americans across the political divide are just not interested in doing this because they see no valid reason. They see no U.S. interest, and in fact, they only see disaster coming out of it, and that's what's causing all this backpedaling. And frankly, it makes Obama, you know, look like a complete wuss and an incompetent fool. But I mean, Chris, what do you expect? You elect and then reelect a Muslim jihadi sympathizing Marxist community organizers, your commander in chief. What do you think's going to happen? You know.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty frightening. You know, some of the things that I see. One of the things that I did notice by going to the leftist media today was, and they try to put together panels, just like Fox will have, you know, opposing view panels, and that's fine. And but there are people on there trying to make it look like he's the wise one because he held back. You know, this whole thing, this whole test on going to war in Syria, you know, he led it. And he put his people out there, you know, Kerry and the rest of them, the talking heads, and everybody's still screaming, Assad did this, Assad did that, when anybody that's been on top of this knows that, no, probably not. And I'm not going to say I know anything for sure, but But what I find interesting is that there's people already spinning his indecision and his backpedaling to make him look wise. And that is just amazing to me. When you know what it is, and you know the weakness, and you know the mistakes made, and you know the lies that have been told, and then you watch these people spin it, you go, man, if you're not paying attention, if you as an individual are not plugged into good groups, don't do your own research, you know, don't know where, you know, like guys like you and me and Tex, you know, we have our sources that we trust, you know, and I'm not going to promote any particular news source, but, you know, you know how to scan through really quick and pick what you're looking for and find validation of a gut instinct, because that's really where it starts a lot of times. If you remember my involvement in Syria started when I was like, what the hell is Israel doing bombing a sovereign country? Remember that? I don't have an anti-Israel, you know, bend like some people do, but I was like going, they bombed a sovereign country that's in the middle of a civil war. I'm like, what the hell? And that's what started my research into Syria, was because something didn't sound right, and I didn't know. So I started building that research model. You know, I said, okay, I'm going to learn what the hell is going on, because if we got, you know, countries bombing sovereign countries, and this has been going on over 2 years, and it's like nobody is talking about it, and all of a sudden my hair on the back of my, you know, my back of my neck stood up saying something big is going on here. So I went to work, you know, and part of it was just for my own gratification of not being, I didn't want to be ignorant. You know, I knew that something was coming down the pike, and I wanted to know what the answers were. So anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you nailed it. And the interesting thing is, I mean, you know, we're talking about Syria, but, you know, our focus on this show is always about conservatism. So we're not really talking foreign policy, but this is the issue. This is the one they put out there right now. It's the one that's causing the problems, and what they're trying to do with this is they're trying to push, you know, use this congressional recess and push this issue out front in order to push back on Benghazi, the IRS scandals, Obamacare,
Egypt,
the continuing resolution, Egypt, the debt ceiling, the Fed, the financial collapse, all of this stuff. They're trying to cover it up and hide it. But the fascinating thing to me is, you know, you bring up, you know, what are the Israelis doing? Well, I mean, look, they're in the same position we're in. Their government over there has been appropriated by the same neocon hawkish assholes who work for the banksters as we've got over here. And I mean, when in the hell could you have envisioned that you would have the Qataris, the Saudis, the Israelis, and the United States
and
on the same side, and Erdogan and Turkey on the same side against the last secular Arab regime that has been most successfully fighting the jihadis that are the cause of terrorism globally? I mean, it's literally something you couldn't even envision. It's insane. But you said, you know, you've been looking into it for a while, and we've been studying, and we're saying this is coming. Well, I got 4 minutes here from a retired congressman over a year ago telling us that this was going to happen. And I think it's fascinating. And I think we've also talked before about, you know, General Wesley Clark talking about how they told him that there was this plan to topple 7 Middle Eastern countries. And that was, you know, he was like, why are we doing this? But let's do this, because I think it'll give us some meat to chew on. And for anybody who, you know, hears something interesting and wants to comment on it, the call-in number is 646-649-1013. Here's former Congressman Dr. Ron Paul back in June of 2012.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Plans, rumors, and war propaganda for attacking Syria and disposing Assad has been around for many months. This past week, however, it was reported that the Pentagon indeed was finalizing plans to do just that. In my opinion, all the evidence to justify this attack is bogus. It is no more credible than the pretext given for the 2003 invasion of Iraq or for the 2011 attack on Libya. The total waste of those wars should cause us to pause before this all-out effort at occupation and regime change is initiated against Syria. There are no national security concerns that require such a foolish escalation of violence in the Middle East. There should be no doubt that our security interests are best served by completely staying out of the internal strife now raging in Syria. We are already too much involved in supporting the forces within Syria, anxious to overthrow their current government. Without outside interference, the strife, now characterized as a civil war, would likely be non-existent. Whether or not we attack yet another country, occupying it and setting up a new regime that we hope we can control poses a serious constitutional question. For where does a president get such authority? Since World War II, the proper authority to go to war has been ignored. It has been replaced by international entities like the United Nations and NATO, or the president himself, while ignoring the Congress. And sadly, the people don't object. Our recent presidents explicitly maintain that the authority to go to war is not the U.S. Congress. This has been the case since the 1950s, when we were first taken into war in Korea under a U.N. resolution and without congressional approval. And once again, we are about to engage in military action against Syria, and at the same time, irresponsibly reactivating the Cold War with Russia. We're now engaged in a game of chicken with Russia, which presents a much greater threat to our security than does Syria. Would we tolerate Russia in Mexico demanding a humanitarian solution to the violence on the U.S.-Mexican border? We would consider that a legitimate concern for us. But for us to be engaged in Syria, where the Russians have a legal naval base, is equivalent to the Russians being in our backyard in Mexico. We are hypocritical when we condemn Russia for protecting its neighborhood interests as we claim we are doing the same ourselves thousands of miles from our shore. There's no benefit for us to be picking sides, secretly providing assistance and encouraging civil strife in an effort to effect regime change in Syria. Falsely charging the Russians with supplying military helicopters to Assad is an unnecessary provocation. Falsely blaming the Assad government for a so-called massacre perpetrated by a violent warring faction, rebel faction, is nothing more than war propaganda. Most knowledgeable people now recognize that the planned war against Syria is merely the next step to take on the Iranian government, something the neocons openly admit. Controlling Iranian oil, just as we have done in Saudi Arabia and we are attempting to do in Iraq, is the real goal of the neoconservatives who have been in charge of our foreign policy for the past couple of decades. War is inevitable without a significant change in our foreign policy, and soon. Disagreements between our two political parties are minor. Both agree the sequestration of any war funds must be canceled. Neither side wants to abandon our aggressive and growing presence in the Middle East and South Asia. This crisis building can easily get out of control and become a much bigger war than just another.
Yeah, just another little conflict, another little civil war. No, this is much bigger. But what I liked is he said, it's a game of chicken. Well, it looks like your POTUS just flinched. But it wasn't that he flinched in the face of Vladimir Putin or even Bashar Assad. He flinched because of the Constitution. And that's the key. And that's what we have to focus on. And that's what Dr. Paul has been talking about for 40 years, much maligned as some kind of isolationist, pacifist, kind of all that crap. Well, it's not true. And if anybody, especially conservative Republicans, doesn't understand what Dr. Paul is talking about, you've got to research him, because he is not a kook. He's not an isolationist. And he's been right, and he's predicted these things because he sees the patterns, and he's been in Congress long enough to know how this operates. So, it's fascinating to me how people just dismiss things based on Fox News soundbites and CNN spin, rather than actually looking at the information and researching. And speaking of that, when we play clips on the show or reference articles and such, those are all posted on the show promotion picks on Facebook. Just click on the pick and all the comments. You'll find all the things that we're using and all the reference points. And also, if you join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia on Facebook, you'll find all this information. And there is even more information if you really want to get into it in Coalition of Freedom, Chris's group. These are all good places to go to get good discussion, good information. And, you know, you don't believe every article you read. Everybody has an angle. People make mistakes. People make editorial comments that may or may not be right. But use common sense. You know, common sense tells us clearly, Chris, that, you know, what interest do we have in Syria? I mean, this whole meme about, you know, the chemical weapons were used and we have to act. Well, they weren't used against Americans, so we don't have to act. Now, if the international community wants to act through the United Nations or something, that's fine. But, you know, Americans were not killed. And so the president cannot, he has no authority to proceed with action against a sovereign nation when Americans weren't killed or our interests were not threatened. And that's what caused the problem. He flinched because good, strong, conservative congressional critters who believe in the Constitution as opposed to in absolute government stood up and said, you got to get authorization from us first. And I think that's the key moment. Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, my head's popping. You know, you said a lot of different things that fired a lot of different thoughts in my mind. But did you, by any chance, upload the audio of Bush when he wasn't a neocon who didn't believe that we need to interfere in everything around the world and who didn't believe that we needed a nation build?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do have that.
You know, and the reason I'm saying this is because I. You know, I've been around the earth a little while. I remember 9/11. I remember the mood of the country. I remember you talked about the numbers of people who were pro, you know, the wars. I remember Bush going around building coalitions around the world for this, you know, aggressive move to go outside the shores of our country and chase these bad guys down. And I remember the rah, 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 go kick some ass. You know, get these bad guys. And I remember that very clearly. But what we're living in today is not that world. What we're living in today is a whole different twist and turn in a whole different economic situation. I mean, if you think about it, in our economy with our $17 trillion plus dollar debt that doesn't seem to be climbing for the last 30 days, but even though they're spending money, that, you know, I can't wait until somebody explains that one. But
yeah,
when you look at everything that this country has gone through, when you look at the Middle East, every country that we've touched, you know, whether it was Iraq or Afghanistan or any of them, you know, around that area, Pakistan even, I mean, it's in turmoil. Yemen and Tunisia and Egypt and Libya and now Syria. I mean, it's like everything that we touch is turning to hell in a handbasket. And after a while, you have to ask yourself, what the hell are we doing? Who are we backing? Why are we backing them? What is the goal? Because one thing, the way I look at it is being an American, you know, when we make decisions to do things, you know, it's always a project management mindset. You know, we're going to go do this thing, whether it's death and destruction of war or whether it's investing into a country or whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, we always have goals. You know, why are we doing it? You know, what's the goal and what's the risk management? In other words, if it goes to hell, you know, what are our options? And I don't want to say exit strategy, but that is a term that's used. So anybody who's ever been a project manager of anything in your life knows that that's a typical American thing. Well, since 9/11 and since Iraq and Afghanistan, we haven't had a plan except dump more money on it, steal more money from Americans, watch more people around the world die, and we're fighting one bad guy in one country, and then we're backing them in another country. That's the stuff that's coming out, and it ain't coming out on the news. It's coming out in the internet and social media, and it's coming out to a point where people are going, "This isn't what I signed up for." You know, there's a thing, because I come from, you know, a war culture. I come from, you know, my parents, my dad was in the Korean War, and we fought for blood and country, and my son fought was in Iraq. And so, you know, we have that patriotic sense of, you know, we're here to, you know, protect our country and get the bad guy. But I don't think people see that anymore, because I sure as hell I can't point to anything that we've been involved in the last 12 years, including the stuff that's going on here at home with the NSA and all the things that have been revealed about what the government's doing in this country to citizens, not to, you know, people who potentially are bad guys or know somebody that lives in Yemen. I don't know anybody that lives in Yemen. What the hell are they tapping my emails for? You know, I mean, it gets to a point in time where, you know, I think Americans have been a little shell-shocked over the last 12 years, and we did get our bell rung, and there was a sense of fear, and we have to do something. But I don't think people are fired up about what they're seeing being done. That's kind of where I'm going with this long diatribe. But I think that what's happening is people are waking up going, wait a second. And what's this shit? What's this crap about McCain? You know, a senator flying into a foreign country and meeting with Al Qaeda and getting his picture taken, and then next thing you know, you got McCain and Graham over there in Egypt going, "Hey, you know, you gotta let these Muslim Brotherhood jihadist Islamist Nazis go because we backed them and spent all this money and you're like going, what? You know what I mean? I knew who the Muslim Brotherhood was a long time ago. The only person I remember on any major cable news that even talked about it was Hannity. Nobody else would even talk about, oh, this is a good thing. This is about democracy. And I'm going, they ain't about democracy. Has anybody even read history? Oh, history, that's that thing. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that annoying thing that we don't learn from. John McCain. I mean, Jihad Jane McCain he just likes war. I mean, you know, any pretext to go blow shit up and kill people, he's got a hard on for it. You know, I mean, Arizona, for God's sake, you know, recall him, get rid of him, do something, just get rid of him. I mean, my God, how many times are you going to send this guy up here to fuck up everything in Washington and trot out on Fox News to convince unwitting Republican voters that, you know, we got to go blow up the world in order to keep America safe? It's friggin' insane. You know, the interesting thing to me is that this meme that's going on that, you know, we have to keep the world safe and we have to protect American interests and all that. Of course we do. You know, and of course we have to have the ability to wage war significantly. No one in their right mind, I mean, other than extreme pacifists, are even contemplating something like that. And to label constitutionalists as isolationists and pacifists is insane. The simple fact is that we need the strongest military force in the world as a deterrent so no one messes with us, and then when we are messed with, you kick ass. But when you're not messed with, you don't go looking for reasons to get into these conflicts. But they have to do it. They have to do it because the petrodollar, the Federal Reserve note, is hinged upon resources, especially energy resources, and the only thing that's keeping it afloat is the U.S. military might. But the force can be broken. Our morale is low, you know, with the attacks on Christians in the military, with the increase in homosexual people serving, the sexual assaults are at an all-time high. I mean, it is a mess. And a lot of the people who joined with a patriotic duty to serve their country are wondering, where the hell are they sending me and what for? I'm supposed to be defending America. Instead, we're going to go support Al-Qaeda, which is one of our worst enemies, even though the CIA created them back in the Cold War. And, you know, they're the ones responsible for 9/11. They've been responsible for attacking U.S. interests. And now we are becoming Al-Qaeda's air force against a regime. And, you know, I keep hearing the meme, you know, everybody knows Assad's a bad guy. I mean, I don't know that he's a bad guy. And frankly, if he is, I don't care. He's the Syrian problem. He's not my problem. He's never threatened us. He's doing his thing over there, but it's a secular regime that has been fighting Al-Qaeda terrorists more successfully than we have, and now we're becoming the air force of Al-Qaeda to topple this guy. It's literally insane, and it's all corrupt. It's all nuts, and it's all designed to distract. But the thing that I find interesting is that they think that they can just pick a war and go dispatch the military. You know, Obama thinks that it's his own personal private army, and he thought that he could get this going. He kind of succeeded when he did it in Libya to take out Gaddafi, but, you know, the leading from behind thing where it was kind of a NATO operation with U.S. Forces under NATO, well, this time, you know, the British wouldn't even go forward with us, and so he had to go it alone. And then he realized, you know, oh, shit, I could get in a lot of trouble for doing this because the Constitution – and he even said this when he was a candidate, you know, we're talking about Bush, right? That he and Biden were saying they're going to impeach Bush for going forward with military action in Iraq without authorization. Well, guess what? We didn't get a declaration of war. This country hasn't declared war since 1942 against Bulgaria. But at least George Bush got an authorization for military force from both parties, even though they're – really, yep. One party, the war party, but
and
he at least got the authorization.
Coalition.
And it's
a
exactly.
huge coalition
now,
around the world.
Right, and whether it was right or wrong, or there were WMDs or whatever, that's pointless to discuss that right now. The simple fact is that at least constitutionally speaking, Congress said yes, go ahead. Well, you know, now Obama needs Congress, so he says I can go it alone. No, you can't, dickhead. You're not allowed to. But I'm going to request authorization from Congress. Well, if legally you can go it alone, and this is such an impending problem, then do it. But he's not. He's going to wait until the 10th of September when Congress comes back in session to get this authorization. So clearly, it's not a pressing issue. You know, and I think that gave such an opening to strong constitutionalist. Ted Cruz's response was fantastic. He said, I commend President Obama for listening to bipartisan calls for him to seek congressional authority before any possible use of force against Syria. Given that the president did not request an emergency session of Congress, that must mean that
like
he agrees
Britain
that
did.
There is no imminent threat requiring the commander-in-chief to act without consulting the representatives of the American people. I mean, this incompetent cocksucker
that's
boxed himself into this.
That's as I've ever heard.
It's beautiful, you know?
Yeah, it's sarcasm.
But yeah, of course it is. Yeah, I mean, the guy's an incompetent community organizer, and, you know, in some sense, I'm wondering if his backers have decided to just hang him out to dry because they're done with him. Or if he's intentionally designed to make the United States look weak. And, of course, people are now saying, you know, we're going to have to take action because Obama put us in this position. And if Congress doesn't give him this authorization, then he's still going to have to go do it because we can't appear weak and there will be ramifications. Well, bullshit.
Oh, that's bullcrap.
If Congress
yeah,
steps up and says we have no vital interest, then the world will know that, okay, the current commander-in-chief of these United States is an incompetent douchebag, but at least some Americans in Congress – you know, have their heads on, right? And they said that we're not going to go invade a foreign country on behalf of organ-eating al-Qaeda jihadi terrorists in order to topple, what was a relatively stable regime where multiple tribes and factions and Alawites and Christians and Sunni
religion.
And Shia and Druze, lived in relative peace. You know, of course, they say, oh, he's a horrible dictator. You can't speak ill of the government. They'll pick you up off the street and they spy on you. Well, that sounds like the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, our government is spying on us. They got the female. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, give me a break. So that's the insanity of the whole thing. And what it tells me, Chris, is now is the opportunity. Now is the moment. I mean, people are waking up. When in the hell has the corporatist media beat the war drums? Have all the douchebags like McCain and King and Graham and Kerry come out for some kind of action like this, and people are like, no, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
People,
it's high,
you know, they say, oh.
It's not even a 55%, 60%. It's 89% plus. It is extremely high numbers. The information is getting out there. To me, this is probably one of the better, you know, the Second Amendment thing, immigration was attacked pretty hard. Unfortunately, you got a lot of traitors in the Republican Party. But, you know, gun control and this situation shows that social media and individual people who are staying on top and give a shit about their country, you know, have finally realized you can't trust either party, you know, to move this country in the right direction. People are involving themselves again. I mean, some days I wonder, you know, people are just going to sit back and let this country fall right off the cliff. You know, trust me, there are days. And to see this, you know, and these statistics of people, And what I like about this, Rex, it isn't a Democrat issue. It isn't a Republican issue. This is a constitutional issue. This is a right and wrong thing. This is, what the hell do you think you're doing? You know, why aren't we home taking care of our country? Why are we getting involved? And really, it isn't about Assad in a civil war. It's about gas lines and pipelines and yep. access is what it's about. And Russia, because Russia yep. has the majority of the market going into Eastern Europe. And you got Qatar and you got Saudi down there, and they wanted to run gas and oil lines through Syria into Turkey and into the coast. And essentially, you know, to challenge the Russian monopoly on oil and gas, because Russia, unlike America, has been developing its natural resources and getting it to the marketplace. And so everybody's all pissed off. And Syria said, no, we don't want to do business with you. You know, they don't get along with Saudi and Qatar. I mean, come on, they're right. Sunnis, you know,
yep.
Sunni wannabes, I call them. But when you look at this thing, when you look at the dynamics, and there's something a lot of people don't realize, but a month ago, Iraq, which is majority Shia, Iran, majority Shia, and Syria, which is Shia control but not majority population, signed a big old deal to run their gas and oil pipelines through Syria to the coast and up to Turkey. Okay, and so when you look at that, and then you look at what Qatar wanted to do that, but Syria told them to jump off the cliff because they're like dogs and cats, night and day, in the Shia and the Sunni. And so a lot of people don't realize this has nothing to do with human beings except for they're expendable to the bankers and the oil people. What this is about is who's going to run the damn pipelines to Syria. That's really what it boils down to. And to get caught off guard about chemical weapons and, you know, all these bad people and all these people are dying. These people don't give a crap. They just want access. That's all it's about is access.
Well, I mean, you know, look, the fact is that in simple terms, all modern wars have been wars fought for and by, you know, on behalf of the bankers' interests by the people who get thrown into the fray, and how many of them get killed, those guys don't care. There's no doubt about that, but I think it's more than that. I mean, that might be the international ramifications of the war, but the simple fact is that we've got a parasite that's taken over this country over the last 100 years, and their scheme of plundering our resources through fiat currency is falling apart, and this is the only way they can prop it up, and so they have to distract us from all the stuff that's going on. I mean, you brought up amnesty. I mean, just think about this. We're going to have this Syria bullshit going on from now until the 10th of September when Congress gets back in session, right? And Congress was going to come back in session with some serious stuff to address and stuff that Boehner and McConnell are on the wrong side of, okay? And we're talking about amnesty. We're talking about the continuing resolution, Obamacare, the debt ceiling, the NSA scandals, the IRS scandals, all of this stuff is still on the table, and it all has to be addressed in the next session of Congress. But now we've got this big distraction, and, of course, war is always a good distraction because, you know, it's dangerous and it's immediate. Well, if it's so friggin' immediate, how can we wait 10 days? It's not that immediate because this has nothing to do with us. I mean, other than the fact that we've been basically propping up the, quote, rebels, which are really just jihadi invaders from 29 foreign countries. But if we hadn't been propping them up, Assad would have already finished this. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he a friend of Russia? Is he not a friend of – I don't care. He hasn't threatened the United States. We have absolutely no interest. But the fact is that the Constitution has a victory here because we're talking about it. That's the thing, is we're having a discussion about, can Obama do this? And, of course, some people just come out and say, of course he has the authorization to do this. He's the commander-in-chief. Well, you know, he's not the king. You can't just order our military around to do whatever the fuck he wants, okay?
The people of
Congress, it's unfriggin' believable how stupid people are, especially elected fucking idiots who should know these things. I mean, this was
especially
already discussed and decided. Yeah, they're the worst. So, you know, this was decided. James Madison, right? I mean, the guy who basically wrote the Constitution, James Madison clearly said it. The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature. Okay, now, obviously, if someone is launching a missile at your country or about to cross your border and invade you or blow up a building or anything like that, you don't have time
to
call a
committee.
Yeah, they can't stop that. But you don't have time to call a committee of Congress in to make a declaration of war and take action. The commander-in-chief has to act immediately, okay? Yeah. But other than that, you cannot go to war unless Congress gives you that authorization. And that's what this is about. So that's why Obama had to stop. That's why he flinched. So he didn't flinch because Vladimir Putin can kick his ass, and I can't wait to see Putin bitch slap him when they meet for the G20 in Russia. It wasn't because Assad, you know, is so tough that you know our military can't handle him or any of that crap. He flinched because constitutionalists and even some Democrats stood up and said, "You can't do this without our permission." And of course, why is he not rushing? Why is he not calling a special session? He can't get them along today to go ahead and give him an authorization. If the vote was held today, even the Senate would probably rubber stamp it, but the House will not give him that authorization. It won't happen. So what they're doing now is they're working on, you know, mustering up the votes for the September 10th action. I don't think they're going to get it, and what's likely to happen is they're going to have to convince us that it's important to do this, which is likely to mean that there's going to be some kind of action utilizing chemical weapons originating with the Assad regime somewhere. And I don't know where it'll be. A lot of people talk about false flags happening here in this country. I'm not so sure that that's a good idea. I think the way that the mentality of Americans is right now, with 91% saying they don't want this thing, and all the lies we've been getting from government lately, the spying and all that stuff, if they did something like that here, people would probably be more prone to say, well, because Obama's such a pussy and because he put his foot in his mouth with this red line bullshit, that's why this is happening. We don't need to go to war over there. We need to get out. But what if one of our allies is hit? What if there's a Syrian-based or Hezbollah-based chemical attack in, say, London or Tel Aviv? Then Obama can say, our allies have been hit. We have to come to their defense. It's a coalition. We're going in. Okay, this is the kind of stuff we're going to see play out over the next 10 days. The important thing to keep in mind is we have to keep the pressure up to not go to war in Syria because nothing good will come of it, and it is not a war with Syria. This is a proxy war with Russia and China, one we cannot win. It won't happen. Okay, China could dump our bonds on the market and crash our economy overnight, and Russia has military capabilities that are on par with ours right now. So it's not a fight that we can afford to get into. Exactly. Yeah. We can't afford to get into this fight. But the most important thing to remember is that they're using this to distract us from all the other stuff. They're going to push through Obamacare. They're going to push through amnesty. They're going to raise the debt ceiling. They're going to overfund the government by $1 trillion with a continuing resolution. They're going to do all this stuff while you're worried about war. And the important thing to keep in mind is that we've got to pressure them on all these points, because the simple fact is it's either the Constitution or power-hungry dildos like Obama, Biden, Kerry, McCain, King, and Graham just doing whatever the hell they want without our say-so. And that's not going to happen.
You know, I find a lot of little things that people don't know are things like NATO. You know, they don't understand. NATO was developed as a counter to the USSR empire. And when the USSR fell, NATO was supposed to be disbanded. It never was. And you have to ask yourself, what the hell was that about? And we're trying to recreate this Cold War with Russia, which is a very emerging market. They're actually the largest economy in Europe now, fifth in the world. They've rebuilt their country. They've been down the socialistic, communistic road that America and Europe seem to be, you know, for some stupid reason, going down. And continually going down, Russia's, that pendulum is swinging back out of that, and they've rebuilt their resources. They've rebuilt their, still working on their industry, you know, but they're getting there. You know, got control of their natural resources, their oil, their largest oil and gas exporter in the world. You know, they're building their country. They're rebuilding their religious foundation in their country. I mean, and there are times when I do research on Russia, I'm going, that's the perfect ally. You know, Europe is collapsing in on itself.
Yep.
You know, they're socially, morally, they're falling apart. You know, socialistic system does not work. It's imploding in on itself. They need this war more than anybody else. You know, their bank, their system. And then they're trying to make Russia the enemy, when in reality, you know, Russia has an 8% to GDP debt, national debt. And we're over 100%. Many countries in Europe are at 200%. Japan, they figure, is going to hit like 245% in the next couple of years. You know, they're out of control. They've been printing money. You know, they've been playing this socialism game for the last 40, 50 years, and it's collapsing their systems. And Russia is going the other direction, and it's building. You know, it pulled all of its borders in, and it rebuilt the country, and it's focused on itself, and it's protecting its national interests and its natural resources. And they're the enemy. And I'm thinking, that should be your natural ally. Because they are doing, you know, they are trying to capture and rebuild their country after a terrible fall coming out of communism and socialism, you know, different stages of this stuff. And everybody else is falling apart. And you would think these emerging markets like BRICS, you know, China, Brazil, you know, Russia, South Africa, these emerging markets are who we should be doing business with, not trying to recreate the Cold War with. But, you know, that's my opinion.
Instead of pissing off the Russians, maybe we should be out competing them. I mean, we got more energy resources here, and that's what this is about. This is about crushing competition. Well, you don't have to crush competition with guns. American ingenuity can find ways to outcompete anybody in the marketplace if you would just let the free market ride. But see, they don't, because that the competition diffuses profit to whoever is most innovative, whoever has the best strategies in the marketplace. And these assholes are so afraid of competition that they want to control everything, and the only way you can control everything is by blowing everybody else up, and that's what they're doing. And it's disgusting, and it's being done in your name, and your wealth is being ripped off.
You're going to pay for it.
Generations are going to pay for it.
Yeah, what's coming next is Africa. Africa's the next Middle East battleground. And Asia, but I don't think that we're going to get past China and Asia. You know, they're pretty embedded. But Africa is this wide open environment. It's almost like they kept it broke on purpose. You know what I'm saying? And depressed on purpose. And now it's time to
wonder.
I have an echo. I'm going to call back in.
All right, that's fine. Tell you what, we'll take a 6-minute break because, you know, the important thing to note here is this isn't about war with Syria. This is about whether or not this is a constitutional republic. Now, the Constitution is still the supreme law of the land, okay? The Constitution is still what governs our country legally. Practically, it doesn't exist. Practically, you are being ruled by a bunch of corrupt politicos who are held sway by corrupt international banksters who have no care and no say. They don't care about you. They don't care about your country. They have no allegiance to us. They just use us to plunder. They use us to enrich themselves. They use us to get more money and power, and that's what this is about. So do we want the Constitution back in place? Even though it's legally there, do we want to actually start using it? Yes, the only way that you can do that is you have to do it, you. Mr. and Mrs. America, you've got to do it at your local level. You've got to do it at your state level. You have to know what it says and what the rules are. There should be absolutely no confusion among any American as to whether the commander-in-chief can unilaterally decide to invade a country that has not threatened us and can just go to war without congressional approval. There should be no question about that. There shouldn't even be a debate.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there shouldn't be a debate, but there is. But the fact is that we've got answers, and we've got some people standing up and championing the Constitution. You want to paint them as isolationists, as libertarians, as wacko birds. It doesn't matter what they label them. The simple fact is that these are people who are saying things that need to be said and discussing the Constitution. And they're drawing anybody with any intelligence. I mean, Newt Gingrich, we're going to play a little bit about how the fact that there's no strategy in Syria, that it's all insane. But the amazing thing is that on the Ingram show, and I don't have that interview, but on the Ingram show, he was talking to her about what was going on, and she brought up the argument between Chris Christie and Rand Paul, and his response was fantastic. Okay, and Newt's a smart guy. He's a strategist, whether you like him, don't like him, you think he's a neocon warmonger or you think he's the greatest conservative ever. Besides the point, he's smart, he's strategic, he knows what he's talking about. His response to her was, trust me, Chris Christie is only the first sign. The establishment will grow more and more hysterical the more powerful Rand Paul and Ted Cruz become, and they will gain strength as it's obvious that they are among the few people willing to raise the right question. You don't have to agree with their answers, but they at least have the courage to raise the right questions. And we need some politicians who have the courage to simply do what's right and then let other consequences occur. But don't try to be more clever than history. I mean, that is it in a nutshell. These are the guys standing up. So, Chris, why don't we take a six-minute break, because Hannity interviewed Rand, okay? And it was really good because they talked specifically about this, the war powers and everything else. It's a long clip. We'll come back on the other side of it to discuss it, because really what this is about, it's not about Syria, it's not about the scandal, it's not about amnesty, it's not about Obamacare. Those are all symptoms of a significant problem. And that problem is that the Constitution can only be the supreme law of the land if the people who basically give the government its authority through their own sovereignty understand what it does. The Constitution is not for us. The Constitution is for the government. The Constitution is the limit on the authority that the government has, which we give it from our own sovereignty. That's the fundamental lesson to learn. And if you don't understand that, these people will get away with crap like having a debate about whether the president can unilaterally invade a foreign country or not. There is no debate about this shit. It's clearly not something that he has the authority to do. Now, does he have the power to do it because you're sitting back on your ass and doing nothing? Probably. And it's probably going to happen. But the simple fact is that you got to stand up and prevent it. And that's what we're going to talk about. So if you want to call in the chat about it after this six-minute clip, 646-649-1013. So let's go with Rand Paul.
Developing story, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Senator, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Sean.
I guess it's a simple question. Do you think this is a wise decision, and do you think that the president needs congressional approval?
Absolutely, he needs congressional approval. The Constitution is very clear on this subject. In fact, James Madison explained in the Federalist Papers, he said, the executive branch is the branch most likely to go to war. Therefore, we vested the power to go to war in Congress. Without question, Congress should vote on this, and he is going against the Constitution, and it will be an unlawful act if he actually takes military action without having Congress vote on the issue.
All right, the president himself said that in 2007, and even Joe Biden, he took it a step further, and I think these words are important. This was just before they took office. Joe Biden says he would impeach somebody who would do what the president may be about to do. Listen to what he said.
I was chairman of the Judiciary Committee for 17 years, or its ranking member. I teach separation of powers and constitutional law. This is something I know. So I got together and brought a group of constitutional scholars together to write a piece that I'm going to deliver to the whole United States Senate, pointing out the president has no constitutional authority to take this nation to war against a country of 70 million people unless we're attacked or unless there is proof that we are about to be attacked. And if he does, I would move to impeach him. The House obviously has to do that, but I would lead an effort to impeach him. The reason for my doing that, I don't say it lightly. I say it because they should understand that what they were threatening, what they were saying, what was adding up to be, what looked like to the rest of the world what we were about to do, would be the most disastrous thing that could be done at this moment in our history that I can think of.
Could this be any more clear, Senator?
Well, here's the funny thing about this. Biden, you know, actually presides over the Senate. He's the president of the Senate. He would preside over his own impeachment. I suggest he come to the Senate floor and reiterate his position. If that's still his position, he would be for impeaching himself and impeaching his administration. What they need to do is they need to come before a joint session of Congress. They need to spell out, lay out their case, and if they want to take the nation to war, they need to convince a majority of Congress. But you know what? You know the reason they won't? They won't risk a vote because they're worried that they could be defeated. It happened in the British Parliament. The American people are not excited about a new war. We're horrified by people gassing their own citizens. We'd like to know who did it, which side did it. But we're not excited to get involved in a new war right now. And so I will do everything I can to stop the president. We should not engage in a war, and we certainly shouldn't engage in it in an unconstitutional fashion.
Well, you mentioned, you know, early on it seemed like the French and the British were quick to jump on the president's side. You referred to the vote earlier in Parliament that Cameron is a pretty big defeat. It seems like whatever momentum they had to go forward with this seems to be stopped. Do you think that's also emerging in Washington?
Well, see, this is what Joe Biden was talking about. The separation of powers allows for checks and balances. It allows for a cooling off period. It allows for people not to emotionally go to war. You have to think about it. And when I think about war, I think about one of my sons or one of your sons going off to war. We do have to fight on occasion, but when we fight, we should fight to win. We should fight for an American cause. I can't see fighting to impose Sharia law in Syria. I also can't see sending my son to fight with Islamic rebels against Christians. I also can't see my son going to fight on the same side as Al-Qaeda. There are so many ironies and unfortunate muddling nature to this that I can't see why we should get involved. And there are potential repercussions. Oh, if he launches this little piddling attack with a few cruise missiles, it won't stop chemical weapons, but it may well incite a gas attack on Israelis. I think it's a big mistake.
I think that's certainly one consequence. It could even start an all-out war in the Middle East if the Iranians get involved, as they threaten to do so. There's a question about U.S. intelligence. The Washington Times today said they're still working through an assessment. We ascertained completely that it was Assad that's responsible for the chemical attack. That's backed up by an article in the Telegraph and even our own Associated Press said it's not a slam dunk. Don't we have to be sure and certain that he's responsible before we make this decision?
Well, you know, some commentators have been asking an important question. Pat Buchanan wrote this in an essay, and he asked the Latin phrase, qui bono, whose benefit is this? So does it benefit Assad to have used chemical weapons? Absolutely not. That's incurred the wrath of the world, and he's known that it would. Whose benefit? It seems to be to the benefit of the rebels. So the rebels have every incentive to have used chemical weapons. I don't know who did, but I've been presented with no evidence yet, and I'd like to see the evidence before we go off half-cocked into a war.
Yeah. Would we, if in fact the president does this, Dennis Kucinich said that we're going to be using the U.S. military to help, support, and back al-Qaeda. It seems a likely successor would be radical Islamists with al-Qaeda ties. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes. I mean, they say that al-Qaeda comprises about a third of the forces, that they're the fiercest fighters, and if Assad is toppled, in all likelihood, there will be a successive civil war, and in all likelihood, al-Qaeda may take over. But the other question is, what if the other Islamic, the better, the moderate Islamic rebels take over? You'll still probably have Sharia law. You'll have Christians persecuted for blasphemy. There's a woman named Asia Bibi in Pakistan right now on death row who they say committed blasphemy, and all she says is, I drank out of the same cup as some of my Muslim workers. So that's not the kind of thing I see that I want to send our young boys and girls to live and die for, to impose some sort of Islamic regime on Syria.
There it is. Great points that he made.
He's so right on. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it summed it up real simple. You know, I can't see my son going to fight with Islamic radicals against Christians. That's basically what they want to do. They want to become Al-Qaeda's Air Force. I mean, the simple fact is that Assad has routed the quote, rebels, every time that it's happened, we've intervened, or Israel's bombed, or someone has provided support to these foreign jihadi bastards that are killing people indiscriminately, and we're saying that's a bad guy. Yeah, maybe he's a bad guy. I don't really care. That's not the issue. The issue is, why are we providing air support to Al-Qaeda, which is a known enemy of the United States? And the simple fact is that this whole, you know, Tomahawk thing, you know, it's not going to stop chemical weapons from being used, even if the Assad regime used them, which we have no evidence of. It is not going to stop the civil war. It's not going to stop the killing. All it's going to do is embolden the foreign jihadis against the Assad regime and possibly instigate, you know, the Russians, which is just a stupid thing to do. So there's no rational sense for an American interest in this. The only interest is for those that want to plunder resources in our name, make money, and cause havoc here at home and bring down the stature of the United States. That's what you have to understand. And the important thing that everybody has to do, and we've got some calls, we're going to be taking some calls in a minute, but what we have to do is, you've got to inform the uninformed, okay? And the uninformed are not stupid. Some of them are intelligent people. They're running their businesses. They're working their jobs. They're raising their families. They vote, quote, Republican because they are conservative at heart, okay? But what they don't understand is that this is all manipulation. And when this next false flag attack comes to give an impetus for our Tomahawk action before September 10th, they might fall for it. So you've got to get this information out to your friends, to other people, get them to share the information, because the issue here is, either we have a constitution or we have a runaway tyrannical government. Those are your two options. That's where we are. And it has been 100 years. It's almost the end game here. And you're either going to restore the republic or you're going to give up freedom for generations. That's how important this is.
Yeah, and here's something I want to throw out, because for people who haven't followed Syria, you know, the magic number is 100,000 dead, 1.5 million people displaced or more, and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, recently, for people who follow what's going on in Syria, you know, they see the beheadings, the organ eaters, the forced marriages and rapes and torturing, and the Sharia law that's been implemented in places that the rebels have control. The latest thing was the 200 people that were held hostage and abused and raped and killed up in the Kurd village that never made it to mainstream media. You know, like, in other words, if this is all of a sudden some hot point for you now, where were you 2.5 years ago when this stuff was going mm-hmm. on? That's the part that frustrates the hell out of me, especially with this responsibility to intervene. You know, that somehow somebody got up and tried to create this concept that America's got to run around the world and punish bad guys. Well, where do you stop and where do you start? If you're one of those people that think you need to jump into Syria all of a sudden, have you been paying attention to Africa for the last 2 years?
The
atrocities that are going on in Africa?
Yeah.
Well, what about
2 million
Asia?
People killed in Sudan.
There's so much shit going on in this world, you know, and all of a sudden this is important to you. And it's like, okay, why is it important to you? Because the mainstream media said it's important to you, or, you know, Joe Biden and Kerry and Obama got up and said it's important. You know, if it's important, why in the hell are we backing people like Al-Qaeda and al-Nusra? And if let's talk about, you know, intervention, let's look at Iraq. Has anybody, I mean, I know I have tracked the numbers of deaths and bombings. I mean, they got 4 or 5 bombs
Huge.
Going off a day, killing innocent people. A day, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's brutal. It's ugly. Where in the hell is the left-wing media on all of this? You know, they were warned that if we pulled out of Iraq too soon, okay, and I'm not a real, you know, I don't want to go, you know, yeah, rah, 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 Iraq. But, you know, they said if you pull out too soon, we're going to have trouble. And it's been daily death and toil and rapes and murders and bombs, and nobody talks about it. And so is that important to you too? Then we should go back into Iraq too. In other words, why is this important to you? You know, why is this important to you? Why is Syria all of a sudden important to you? For one, does it affect our national security? No, it does not. This is about a gas line for Qatar versus a gas line for Iran and Iraq going through Syria. Right. That's what it's, you know, fundamentally simple. This is a battle. We're fighting. Somebody's trying to sucker us into a war so they can build a frickin' pipeline.
Yep.
It is not about human suffering, because if you're worried about human suffering, there's so much of it going on in this world you couldn't get up out of bed in a day.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, it's tragic when people are killed. It's tragic when these things happen. We can't fix it all. We cannot fix it all. It's not our responsibility. Now, that doesn't mean that we're silent about it. It doesn't mean that we endorse it, of course. But we cannot go around being the policemen of the world. We don't have the resources. We don't have the capability. And the simple fact is that you engage in war very cautiously, okay? And there has to be legitimate reasons. I mean, the first thing is that the damage inflicted by the aggressor, must be lasting, grave, and certain. Okay, so whoever you're going to go to war against, it has to be significant problem. And then, you know, all other means of putting an end to it must have been shown to be impractical or ineffective. You know, diplomatic measures, sanctions, all that stuff has to be proven that the aggressor is just not going to sit back and stop. And so you have to resort to violence. But there also must be serious prospects for success. What's the success in Syria? I mean, you're going to fire Tomahawk missiles, blow up buildings, take out, you know, their air capability.
Yeah, kill innocent people.
Kill innocent people. You're not going to stop. You're not going to destroy. I mean, Obama said it. He said, we're not going to do anything about the chemical weapons. Well, if the chemical weapons is the reason that you're doing this, then why aren't you doing anything about the chemical weapons? We're not going to engage in regime change. Well, if the regime is so bad, Assad's such a bad guy, why aren't we doing that? What is it that you're doing? The only thing you're doing is weakening his air capability, which is what's keeping him from losing the battle to 20 jihadis from the 29 foreign countries. So the prospect of success is simply to create a jihadi state in a secular regime. That's highly dangerous, and it's right in Russia's backyard. Putin's not going to put up with that. So there's no prospect for actual success unless your intention is to cause chaos. Well, that's not in American interest. The other thing is that the use of arms does not produce evils and disorders graver than the evil to be eliminated. Well, we're going to end up causing more death and prolonging this conflict if we do this. So there's no legitimate moral, practical, or national interest reason to do this. And the only reason that this is being pushed now is, one, to save Obama's face. Well, you know, fuck him. You know, I mean, if he's going to look like an incompetent pussy to the rest of the world, that's fine with me. He's a temporary president. He's not our king. He's not our God. He's a temporary president. If he looks like a pussy, that's fine. That doesn't mean that we look like pussies. In fact, we'll probably look good to the rest of the world when they say the Nobel Peace Prize warmonger was put down by his own people whose cooler heads prevailed and didn't screw up the world. You know, it's just that simple.
Can you imagine... I just want to toss this into that conversation of what you're talking about right now. Can you imagine if a Republican president was in office right now, the left-wing media would have the drone strike statistics and documentaries going 24/7 right now? How many thousands of innocent people have been killed by drone strikes? You know, and the signature strike crap. I mean, I watched a documentary on that. I'm going, you're kidding me. They're like going, the guy was heading to a car that, you know, had been seen in this village. Oh, let's kill him. I mean, it's like, what? You know, and you wonder why people got fired up when Rand Paul did his 13-hour filibuster. You know, because there is questions that aren't being answered. And I guarantee you, if it was a Republican president, that's all we would hear 24/7, just like when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan, every day in our face, how many soldiers were killed, how many innocent people were killed, how much death and destruction was going on around us, 24/7. We got this crap going on all over the world from our military, you know, and nobody says nothing. You know, the hypocrisy of it is so frustrating.
I agree. I thought we had a caller, but they just dropped. I was about to bring them on. If you call in, the call in number 646-649-1013. Just push 1, and I will bring you in for commentary. Otherwise, if you just want to listen, just hold the line, and you can listen through the phone. But no, I think you're absolutely right. And the fact is that they bring all these things up. I mean, we got the death toll statistics every day from Iraq when you know Bush was. president, and it's just to perpetuate that there's some kind of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, when the fact is that there's one party in Washington. It's the tax spend and go to war party. That's it. They've been appropriated. But you have a faction that's growing within the Republican Party, and even some Democrats, who want to put an end to this, and they want to restore constitutional government and restore, you know, pride in the republic. And you have to make that happen. You have to support them. You should be on the phone right now, and you should be educating everybody else to get on the phone, call your congressman, call their office, call all the congressmen. I mean, there's 435 of them. Do 10 a day for the next 40 days. We don't have that long, but, you know, call them and tell them we don't want this war. Okay, stand up for American interests and respect the Constitution. So we got a caller, 817 area code. You are live with Rex and Chris. What's on your mind regarding what's going on?
Hi, Rex. It's Linda.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
PJ Strike Force. I'm good. I'm here. I agree with everything you said. Some of the words I didn't, but.
I'm kind of funny on time.
Everybody knows on my webpage we don't talk bad words, but no, I agree with everything you're saying. Y'all are doing a great job, and I agree with you that we need to continue to educate people. I don't support the fact that there's stupid voters. They're just uneducated, and they need to be educated, and I commend us all because we've all worked very, very hard at this, and I hope that if anybody's listening that hasn't joined in, that you do, that you become educated, that you learn that's what, you know, Tex and Rex, at this point, I guess it's Chris and Rex, but on this show. But any blog talk show that you can get on, any Twitter pages that you can get on, everything that you can do, you do it for country, you do it for the cause, you do it for America. And that's about all I had to say.
Well, no, that's great. And Linda, I know you're out there working real hard, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the thing is that what everybody has to realize is that, you know, with liberty comes responsibility. And it is our responsibility to, you know, it's so easy to beat up on and criticize people, whether they're on the left or the right, you know, for not being involved, for not knowing what's going on. And you know what? In a sense, sometimes it's easy to do that because you would be right. But it's not productive. And what you said was great, because what we need to do is bring them along. And now is the time to do it, because this is crossing the political divide. People are saying, we don't want this, so tell them why. Tell them why the Constitution matters. This is a great opportunity, and I think that you nailed it. It's about not that they're necessarily stupid, they're misinformed. Well, if we have the knowledge, then it's our responsibility to get it to them.
Yes, it is. And one of the things that I say a lot, I mean, when you've got – I'm close to 24,000 followers now. It's a job to keep it all in order. You know, monitor it. I basically let them know that is their site. I let them use the voice. There's a lot of people there, so I just kind of let be a vessel to let it go through. But you have to really monitor it. And one of the things that I say on there is we're not going to agree on 100%. That's never going to happen. So what we do have to agree on is the Constitution and America, the things that we stand for in America, because you're not going to agree. And it's always okay to disagree. And, boy, that just stops them right there. And then they just start going on to something else. And, you know, it really works. But, I worked that hard, and I've put in a lot of time. So I agree with you. Everything you're doing, I commend you for you've been here over a year now that I'm aware of. Because I've been involved in over a year now, and I just can't say enough nice things about everybody that has worked so hard and so many hours, and I think we've done more than we realize.
Well, I think that this current propaganda failure of the corporatist media is because of everybody who's doing these kinds of efforts, and we appreciate your support of the show. You've been a great help. But why don't you tell people where they can find you, Linda?
I'm at I'm on Twitter, and I am at PJ Strike Force, and I just have my name up there as Linda.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, I recommend everybody who's on Twitter
generally,
follow at what's that?
PJ Strike Force. I was going to say generally, if I don't find them, they find me. So And if they leave, they always come back. So
wonderful. Wonderful.
So that's where I'm at, and that's their site. That really is. This is the people's site. It's not my. I monitor the account, but I let it be a people's voice. So if you are not using bad language, if you're not, one of the rules I have is that you don't trash anybody. I have probably 27 congressmen following me besides media, besides Wonder Woman, besides there's a lot of people. So no one is trash talked at all, and I have no problem using a block button real quick if they're going to do that. So, I just let it be a voice, and that's what it's for.
Well, I hope I don't get blocked because I do trash talk people like Peter King and Jihad Jane.
I just won't retweet it. I'm my favorite.
Well, I don't tweet that out. I'm talking about on the show. My tweets are clean. But sometimes on the show when I'm rolling, you know, the language gets a little colorful. I'm trying to temper it.
Sure.
But, you know, the country's falling apart, and sometimes it just flies out of my mouth. You're absolutely right. The fact that it's you're saying, you know, it's the people's site. Well, you know,
right.
This is the people's show. It's a labor of love. We're doing it because we
Amen.
Love our country.
Amen.
And we want people, you know, this isn't a money-making scheme. This isn't about,
That's
you
right.
know, Rex, be, Rex or Chris being, you know,
no.
the big talking heads. This is about getting information out to what you said was exactly right, not stupid voters, uninformed voters. I mean, the reason that so many conservatives fell for Mitt Romney in 2012 is because they were told he was the only electable one when we had a plethora of conservatives to choose from. That's low
Amen.
Information. That's not stupidity. They didn't know who Mitt Romney was. He was sold as the severe conservative. And if they don't have time because of their kids, their job, their business,
sure.
their back taxes, government intervention, you can't necessarily blame them. And if they just come home and just turn on Fox News for a half hour and get those sound bites, they're going to get confused. But we can teach them because we've spent
correct.
The time to know and distill that information.
Amen. That's correct.
Fantastic.
Well
keep up
I
the
think,
good work,
I think
and thanks
that,
for supporting us.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I think the important thing here is that you take the time to build your networks and your news sources. One of the things that, you know, when I first got into this national politics thing during the primary, you know, I was not a national politics follower, okay? And so I had to find out where the good resources were at, whether it was a group or a Twitter account or, you know, whether it was this news feed or that news feed. Once you get your resources down and you figure out who to trust, then you need to stay in those environments because usually the people who are involved in those environments are going to take on the tough subjects and they're going to bring the information to play, you know, people like you or myself or Linda, whatever the case may be. But, you know, we dedicate ourselves to bringing information and education and conversation to the platform. So once you find those resources, then you want to support them. Because people work their butts off, especially people who are not getting paid to do this stuff. You know, they're working hard to provide good material because they care about their country. And I think that's an important thing for somebody who's going, well, you guys sound like you know what you're doing and you're so on top of stuff and blah, blah, blah. Well, we weren't at one time. I wasn't. You know, when I first started this journey, you know, I was going like, holy smokes, man, my country's going south really fast, and I need to get caught up, and I need to get educated, and I need to be able to, you know, like I say now, I can get up in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, and I go to this source, that source, this group, that source, and I can be caught up in 10 minutes, and I know what I'm looking for, you know, and it isn't like it takes my whole life away from me anymore. In the beginning, it was a little bit of work, you know, to get educate myself. But now that I know where to go for my information, it's not that big of a deal. And so that's that idea back to what we were talking about a long time ago was this coalitions, is building those coalitions and building those groups and staying, you know, I don't want to say stay loyal like you should be on mine or so-and-so's, but there is a certain factor to that. You know, people who work hard, they're doing it for a reason. So help build those environments, whether it's, you know, your Twitter environment,
you know, Tex and Rex show or Coalition of Freedom or whoever the case may be, you know, it helped build those environments. So bring people on and so that the environment will educate people so it's not so much, you know, one by one by one. Because that's where the work is at. You know, if you can reach 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000 people, you know, then when we have something we're trying to get done, you know, like this serious situation, you know, all of a sudden you can get up and people who care and are good at research, they get that information out there. It spreads. You know, don't just be an observer. You've got – this is a citizen government. The reason we have such a huge federal government is because citizens quit being involved in the daily activity of governing the country. And that was, you know, and I can understand in a busy world how it's just so overwhelming because the country is so big now and it's so international in scope. I think people just got lost. You know, we grew up in a world where we kind of knew, you know, our politicians and our officials and everybody was kind of had the same kind of core values. Well, that's all changed in the last 20 years. And so you gotta search out people, like-minded people, and build those relationships and hold on to them, because what times like this, the reason we have less than 9% of the people polled, you know, say yeah, go for it, strike Syria, I believe that was all social media. That wasn't the news, because if you go listen to the news, they're still saying Assad did it. We need to attack, you know. So, you know, that came from people, and it's just so important to understand that. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, Linda, thanks so much again for supporting the show and for all the hard work that you do, because I think you are being very effective in informing people and getting the word out there. And I think that all these efforts and what Chris said with all the voices, I mean, whether it's Ben Swan or Christopher Green or you or us, the more voices there are out there, the
Ron
more competition.
Paul's new channel.
Ron Paul's new channel, the more truth is heard, the more people will get informed and stop falling for these lies. Like, you know, I noticed, you know, what they keep saying is, we know chemical weapons were used. Okay, well, obviously they were used because people died from them. But by whom? Who used them?
Yeah,
and why?
Who sold them?
You know, who sold them? Where did they come from? They came from Saudi Arabia. Prince Bandar got them into the Al-Qaeda terrorists, and they're the ones who used it. That's the evidence that we have. But, you know, they keep telling us that it's the Assad regime, and like Rand Paul said, where's the proof? I mean, you know, where's the proof? And even if he did use it against Syrians, how is that our problem? I mean, it's sad. It sucks. I don't want to see it happen. But why should our young men and women's lives be put at risk? Why should our treasure be spent when it doesn't threaten the United States? And that's a simple message. It doesn't have any political lines. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's not a left or right thing. It's just a common sense thing. We're Americans. We look out for Americans. We don't want to, you know, crap all over everybody else, and we want to help when we can. But why are we going to risk our children's blood?
Here's
the
question. I just want to throw this out for you. How many people died at the hands of drug lords across our southern border yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Who in the hell knows? Why?
Yeah.
Because it's not the news of the day.
Exactly.
You know? And, oh, should we go, you know, should we attack Mexico? I mean, how many tens of thousands of people have died in the drug wars down there in the last decade? You know, and why isn't that a big deal right now? Oh, well, it doesn't set a political agenda because we're not trying to build a pipeline right now through Mexico.
Yeah, God, not at the moment.
You know, people need to, you know, they need to get control of their emotions. You know, like I said, there's disaster and crisis down the street from where you live.
Yep.
Are you involved in that? There's probably wife abuse going on in your neighborhood. Are you involved in that? I mean, I'm not trying to beat up on people, but I'm trying to get people to think. You know, one thing that I do, I have to do in this political battle is realize that it's really ugly. It's really evil. The stuff I see going on in my country, in our politicians, the greed, the corruption, the corporatism, you know, the NSA stuff, you know, all the stuff that we're dealing with right now. And the only reason I think I can look at it, well, not I think I can, but I know that I can look at it, I can research it, I can stay focused, is that I don't spend my time getting emotionally caught up in it. Now, maybe some people aren't able to do that, and maybe politics is not a thing for you. But, you know, I'm fighting for my country. This is war. And you can't let every crisis emotionally drain you. You have to be able to separate yourself from it and say, I'm going to be like a reporter. I'm going, what are the facts? You know, what's the truth behind this situation? Okay, I got my network, I got my friends, I got my resources. What's the information now? How do I get this information out there and be part of the solution instead of part of the problem? Because the biggest problem in this country is emotionalism. This country is full of a star-struck American political idol type of environment. We're voting for people based on what they say and how it touches us. You know, Obama won because people thought he cared, not because they believed he was good on the economy. I mean, he had a terrible record, and he won because they felt like he cared for them. I mean, my God, if that's what this country's become, and hopefully it's turning around, you know.
It is turning around. And it's turning around because of the efforts like what Linda's doing. I mean, the fact is that if you're a society that thinks with its feelings, you're going to be swayed by whoever can be the most charismatic rhetorician and get you all emotional.
Or fear-monger.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a feeling. Fear is a feeling. So, I mean, the simple fact is that you got to use your brain, and the reason we have a constitution is to cause to force a deliberative process. The reason that the executive was not vested with the war power except for immediate imminent threat is in order to prevent one man from taking an entire country and an entire nation into reckless wars. That's what this is about. We've only got 30 minutes of show left, so we've got quite a lot to cover. Again, Linda, thanks so much. We appreciate everything you're doing, and thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
Here's the interesting thing. You know, we talked about, you know, Linda's efforts, what we're doing. Christopher Green over at Alternate Media Television, Ben Swan, Josh Tully. There's a lot of people out there doing this stuff to counter the Fox News, MSLSD, CNN bullshit that keeps people's minds managed. And it's up to you to get it out there. Retweet it. Share it on Facebook. Send people emails. Download clips of the show. Make CDs. Hand them out at your Tea Party meetings, your Republican meetings. And you don't have to necessarily agree with everything that we say or everything that Ben Swan says or everything that Josh Tully says, but get the information out there so people can hear something different, hear an alternative perspective so that they can rationally distill the truth and figure out how to act and how to vote. Because if we don't all get involved, we're going to be run over by the tyrants. But the oligarchs are on their heels still. They're flailing. Look at all the backpedaling. One day Kerry comes out and he's like, you know, we're going to war. The next day Obama comes out and says, well, you know, I could do it today. I could do it tomorrow. I could do it next week. I'm going to wait for Congress to come back, even though I don't have to. You know, it's this crap is happening because they're like, why aren't these people coming along with us like they have every other time? Because people are beginning to wake the fuck up. And you've got to keep that pressure on. You know, that's the important thing. And then listen to – you don't have to listen to people because you like their personality. If you love Ron Paul, that doesn't mean that everything Ron Paul says is gospel and he's the only one you should listen to. You know, if you always thought Newt Gingrich was a neocon bastard warmonger hawk and you never listened to him, you're missing out because sometimes he says things that makes a lot of sense. You got to listen to different perspectives. And, you know, speaking of Newt, let's see if we can Chris, I got a four-minute clip here. This is Newt on CNN with the Wolfman talking about how there's no strategy in Syria. I mean, how do you commit a nation to war when it's broke, when its force is spread in 74 conflicts and the morale is low, without even putting forward a strategy? That's insane. I mean, even if we forget the constitutional issue, just a simple fact, if you're going to do this, you don't even have a strategy for the next step. It's literally insane. Let's listen to Newt.
Let's go fire $500 million of rockets.
let's just boost Raytheon stock profits at the expense of the American people and killing a bunch of Syrians. That's a friggin' great idea. Here's Newt.
A man you know, he says the U.S. military is ready to go in launching some sort of strikes against Syria. What do you think? Is this a smart idea?
Well, I'm sure they're ready to go, and I think it's not a very smart idea. The number one threat to the United States in the Middle East is Iran. We've now spent several years chasing after Libya, chasing after Egypt. Now we're going to chase after Syria. None of them are mortal threats to the United States, but an Iranian nuclear weapon is. Furthermore, if we fire off 10, 15, 20, 30 Tomahawks, the question becomes, and then what? We won't have eliminated Assad's chemical capacity. We will probably have enraged the Russians. We may well increase the amount of supplies that the Russians send to the Syrians. There's no policy, there's no strategy behind this kind of feel-good emotionalism. And yes, we have a lot of power, but using it blindly, I think, is not a good idea.
Well, listen to John McCain, the senator from Arizona, the Republican presidential nominee back in 2008. Listen to what he said.
The president of the United States over a year ago said that if Bashar Assad used chemical weapons, it crosses a red line. We know for sure that he's used them at least once. Now here's the second time. Horrific. Horrific. And if the United States stands by and doesn't take very serious action, not just launching some cruise missiles, then, again, our credibility in the world is diminished even more, if there's any left.
So what do you say to Senator McCain?
Well, I'd work backwards from his final comment, if there's any left. No, very, very few Americans are prepared to wage a Syrian campaign, which it sounds to me is what John McCain is describing. I don't know of hardly any American who believes that coming out of Iraq, which, by the way, had 97 people killed this weekend. Think about that. This campaign that was supposedly a success, 97 Iraqis were killed this weekend, still occupied in Afghanistan, watching the mess in Libya, trying to help in Mali, looking at Egypt in chaos. I mean, the idea that we should go out and take on Syria next, I just think is gross overextension.
So the U.S. should just simply let the slaughter, more than 100,000 Syrians have already been killed over the past 2.5 years, let the slaughter go on?
Well, the bomb that was set off in Boston was set off by a Chechen. Between 1999 and 2007, the Russians killed between 100,000 and 300,000 Chechen civilians. The truth is we don't know the accurate number. I think it's very selective morality to say this is the one we're going to work on because this is this week's headline. I think that the region is a mess. I think we need a decisively new strategy, and I think randomly firing off missiles is not a strategy. It's just an act of public relations.
But if the president of Syria, Bashar, if his regime goes down, wouldn't that be a really serious blow to Iran, which you see as a much more serious threat to the U.S. and the region?
Sure, but other than John McCain, who is suggesting that we undertake enough activity to bring the regime down? We're not prepared to arm the rebels because we now have discovered that most of the rebels are Islamic radicals, including al-Qaeda. So, you know, there are no good guys available in Syria right now. The Russians are clearly prepared to back Assad, he and his father have been friends of Russia since 1970. And this idea that I saw in one article that we're going to shame Putin, people need to get in their heads. Putin was a senior KGB official. It's impossible to shame him. He's going to do what he thinks in a cold, calculating way is in Russia's best interest, and he clearly does not think allowing the United States to defeat Assad is in Russia's best interest.
There it is. Newt laid it out. I mean, there's no possible good outcome from toppling the Assad regime, even if it is a bad regime, even if that's a given. You know, there's no possible good outcome from toppling it, and this, quote, you know, action that Obama's proposing of taking doesn't even come close to doing that. It's nuts.
Well, you see how Blitzer, I had that vision of Christopher Green talking about Blitzer's beard, but how Blitzer was trying to set him up with the emotional content, you know, and
mm-hmm.
trying to put him in a corner with, well, we're just supposed to let this go on, you know, that emotional
right.
drag,
and yep.
then bringing in Mick, I want to be at war with the whole world,
And
Jane McCain.
For whatever, you know, oh my God, you know, from I think he still hates the Russians from Vietnam. But, you know, by bringing him in on the extremist view that we need to get in there and kick ass and topple Assad, and, you know, because that's the McCain mindset. You know, he's still on this plan. He's got this broken record of his mind going back to General Clark when they were talking about, you know, toppling these countries. And you know, back in the Bush era. But it just seems like, you know, this guy just, I mean, he needs to retire. You know, I mean, he is not going to be happy until he gets us into a third world war. You know, it's like he has some kind of secret hate with Russia. And so you have that extremist. You have the feel-good extremist who hide their true motives behind human suffering. You know, that's the leftists. You know, they want to be the, you know, all about the feelings. Oh, we're supposed to let this go on. Well, hell, we've been letting it go on for 3 years. You know, and where were you when the Kurds were being beheaded up there in that village a couple weeks ago? Well, it didn't fit your scenario. You know, that's the true leftist dialogue. McCain, he's the right wing war on everybody that even looks at us cross-eyed, you know, that's the other extreme. So, you know, right down the middle, you got Newt and Rand Paul and Cruz and the way we think and Ron Paul. I mean, I remember the first time I said, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to get to know this Ron Paul guy, because all I ever heard was this negative isolationist, you know, mindset from my fellow conservatives. I didn't know anything about Ron Paul, and I started studying the guy, and he's starting to sound more sane all the time, you know, because it isn't about being it. And this is my, you know, the way I try to get the people to understand this. I don't have a problem with war, with a just war. If we're attacked, like when this whole thing happened with 9/11, I was like, well, go kick their frickin' ass. Well, I didn't know 12 years later we'd still be losing our treasure and our men trying to play some kind of political nation building. I never voted for that. You see what I'm getting at?
No, I never voted for this.
Let's go around the world and make everybody America. They're not Americans. We're America.
Right. And the fact is that, look, war is unfortunately a fact of human existence and always will be. And sometimes it's necessary. You know, and when we were attacked at 9/11. You know, whether you're a truther and you think it's an inside job, whether you think that some people knew about it and allowed it to happen, or whether you think it was just the terrorist initiative, doesn't really matter.
Or low all of the above.
Yeah, whatever. We were attacked, and a retaliatory strike against the Taliban, which was harboring the Al-Qaeda Saudi-funded terrorists that did this, was legitimate. But then why are we rebuilding Afghanistan? I mean, Afghanistan was, you know, a pile of rubble before we got there. Why should it be anything different afterwards? That's their problem. They have to fix that. We can help them with trade. We can give them examples, but it's not up to us to rebuild it. We shouldn't still be there. You go in there, you kick ass, and you get out. But we have no interest in Syria, no legitimate interest in Syria except for helping the bankers prop up their war. We've got a caller. We've only got 22 minutes of show left, so this will be the last caller of the day. But area code 865, you are live with Rex and Trog. Who are you and what's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. My name is Blue. How do you do? There's a story that I'm desperately trying to get out that just happened on the 31st, but I don't know if you've seen the YouTube video of the female veteran arrested and brutalized after a war protest against Syria. In Pennsylvania.
No, I have to admit I'm not familiar with that story. If you would like to share it, that would be great. Because, go ahead.
Well, the scariest thing is she was doing nothing more than standing at a tree. And it was not the cops that accosted her. It was your federal parks and regulators, or whatever they call themselves, Rex and Park, that accosted this woman. They took her, they threw her over a bench. The woman was wearing a banjo. This is all caught on videotape.
Well, okay. if you can get in our chat and put a link, we'd appreciate it, and we'll share it and get the word out.
I was trying to figure out how to do that, and I couldn't figure out how to do that.
Well, if you're listening on the internet, it should be right below the show.
Okay, I am. But what I went back and I knew that I caught something at about the 122 mark. That kind of threw me for a loop, so I went back and I re-listened to it over and over again. And you can pick up exactly what this one gentleman said. Is that after they have this woman bent over a park bench with her banjo above her head as they're trying to choke her with this banjo, he is putting leg links on her, and he simply says this one statement. Now, he's in a blue shirt. I won't give the ethnicity of the gentleman, but I'm sure that you can pick it up. Is she fish, game, or wildlife? Are the exact words that came out of that man's mouth at the 122 to the 128 mark of this video. And if that's what the Game and Recreation Parks Department thinks about you, then we have real problem in this country.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think this just shows you how when we sit back and allow government at any level or any agency to go out of bounds of the constitutional limits, you get this kind of insanity going on. And the fact is that the First Amendment is very clear about our right to redress governments, grievances against the government. It's very clear about our right to assemble. It's clear about our right to free speech. And these thugs that abuse this power is because we've allowed it to go on for so long. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
It gets better. Watch the video. They carry her out like she's a pig. They pick her up by her arms and her legs, and they carry her out of the park.
Yeah, this kind of stuff goes on all the time, and it's really disgusting. I didn't know about this particular instance, but if you could put the link in there, we'll get the word out so that people can see what's going on. But this is the kind of abuse that goes on because they want to force this war. They don't want people protesting it because 90% of Americans don't want it, and they have to get us to go along with it. So we appreciate you bringing it up.
The biggest thing is that when you look at the big picture, okay, and you look at the executive orders, the only way that they have that authorization to have acted the way that they did is if there had been some congressional person there or there had been some dignitary, quote, unquote. There wasn't. So they did not have this authority, period.
Well, sure. Sure, just like the president doesn't have the
bottom
authority to unilaterally strike Syria without us. So yeah, if you could provide us with a link, we'll get that information out there. Thank you for bringing that up. It's a very valid point. We appreciate the call. All right, folks, we've only got about 15 minutes of live show left. We'll probably slightly run into overtime. Call in number is 646-649-1013. I don't have time to take on any more callers, but if you call in before midnight, you can listen to the rest of the show live. Otherwise, our shows are always available in archive. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, the Tex and Rex Show, and you can play the shows anytime. You can download MP3s and share them with people. We appreciate you spreading the word because this information has to get out there to wake more people up. And, Chris, what I wanted to do, we've talked about the emotionalism. We've talked about Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and how they're standing up, and leading people in Congress to control the president as a Congress is supposed to when he's going off half-cocked to save face because he has a small penis or whatever the hell his problem is and wants to just blow shit up along with the jihad Jane McCain and Peter King. the thing that I find really interesting is how some of these allegedly conservative Republicans are just beating up on him for being a wuss, and they want to just go balls to the wall war, and they're saying that he has the authority to do it without even consulting with them, which is just absolutely insane. I've got two short clips. The first one is a splice of Inhofe saying that the force is not prepared to do this, and King saying that, that Obama can do it, and then we'll discuss it on the other side. But it's just pretty amazing. Here's let's start with King first.
He has the right to act without authority.
Yeah, presidents have done this consistently. President Reagan did it in Grenada. President Eisenhower did it in Lebanon. As commander-in-chief, he has the right to begin military actions. Now, if he's smart, he would certainly consult with the House and Senate leaders, with the members of the top people on the Intelligence Committee, the Armed Services Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee. But he doesn't have to. As commander-in-chief, I believe strongly the president has the constitutional right to carry this out. So it's really two different issues. One, he has the right to do it. But secondly, I think he'd be very smart to consult with the leadership, not with all of Congress and something like this.
I'm taking his own words as a senator, Boston Globe, right. 2008. Quote, this Senator Obama, the president does not have the power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual imminent threat to the nation.
Yeah.
Those are his words.
Yeah, and to me, the hardest thing to do with President Obama is keep track of what he says from one day to the next. Just like, for instance, he was against Guantanamo. Guantanamo is still open. He's carrying out drone attacks. All of these things he's doing, it's inconsistent. It's wrong. I'm not here defending President Obama. I'm just defending the office of the president.
Can you defend the threat to the United States that comes from Syria? What is that?
The threat is, it's two. One, I think chemical weapons are a threat to everyone. Once that line has been crossed, that puts the entire world at risk as far as the threshold being crossed, and I think severe action has to be taken. But more than that, is this will so strengthen Iran. You will have almost this axis of Iran and Syria, and which really puts the entire Middle East in peril, because then you have Iraq in there, and Iraq now has given its airspace to Iran. So if we don't stop this right now, I see just Iran becoming the dominant power in the Middle East.
I see the logic you're using. I mean, it's six pieces of chess or six moves of chess. But the argument you're using is an indirect threat to the United States.
Yeah,
that's not what the law says. It says an imminent threat to the nation.
No, under the Constitution, the president has the right to take action, I believe. And they've done it going back to Ronald Reagan with Grenada. I said Eisenhower with Lebanon. We can go back to President Clinton in Bosnia and Kosovo. He went ahead. They can do it. He has the constitutional right to do it.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Mr. King, where in the fuck in the Constitution? Where in the fuck in the Constitution does the president have the right to unilaterally bomb the shit out of a sovereign nation that hasn't done anything to us? This guy is fucking nuts.
Yeah, he's scary.
But there, all the neocon bastards are like that. They're just not maybe as blatant as this guy, well, except for Jihad Jane McCain. But they, you know, maybe they're more nuanced. But that's basically what they're saying, you know. And they're what they're doing is they're playing the politics game by, like, you know, beating up on Obama for being soft and being a Democrat and being a liberal, but defending his right to destroy the world if he deems it necessary. Because when they get their Jeb Bush in there, they want to have the ability to do that. That's how nuts this is, and that's what people need to realize. Quit falling for the RD, left, right, red, blue bullshit, and realize that there's a bunch of assholes up there who want to do everything for their aggrandizement, for their bankster masters, and blow shit up and plunder your resources and spend your money while pretending to appeal to your emotional conservative values. You know, they'll talk pro-life, they'll talk pro-traditional marriage, they'll talk pro-patriotism, America, the Constitution's important, and then they'll turn around and backstab you and do whatever the hell they want.
Well,
you need to – go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, well, I just was thinking that they're always quoting the Constitution when it's the other guy in power abusing it. You know, and when they get in power, then they want to abuse it. That's the problem. And that is not an R or a D problem. That is a crooked
corporatist politician problem. These are people who do not respect the Constitution. They don't respect life. They don't respect sovereign nations. They don't respect sovereign states. You know, they don't respect any of it, because I don't care. You know, if you want to really educate yourself, you know, I mean, when you look back at, you know, we bitch and moan about all these big departments that Obama is abusing, you know, money and writing laws and all this overregulation. Well, you know, who set up the EPA? It was Nixon. Who took us off the gold standard? It was Nixon. So, you know, you have to wake up sometime in your life. You have to get up and realize that it is not a team sport. We are past that. You have to mature to a point where you realize that you've got to vote for people who want to protect your sovereign right as a citizen, who want to protect your state's power so that the federal government doesn't dictate every aspect of everything you do in your life, including what kind of toilet you can own. You know, you just have to ask yourself, do I want to live my life free? You know, and I'm not talking about anarchy, you know, left-wing libertarianism, but you know, do I want to, I mean, what the hell, how did we make it this far without all these federal employees lording over our lives, whether it be in war or the car you can drive or the toilet you can put in your house or the clothes you can put on the body or the people you can associate with or your ability, like the gal that just called in. You know, I've seen some of the issues with people doing peaceful protests that are being harassed by cops and, you know, the right to assemble, you know, all these basic fundamental things that are the Bill of Rights that our founding fathers, we almost did not have a constitution and a federal government because there were people who were going, no, until you protect the rights of the states and the sovereign citizen, we are not going to sign this Constitution in the play. They spent a lot of time working on that body to get that Bill of Rights in there. And that Bill of Rights is everything for who you are as a human being in this country. You take away that Bill of Rights and you have the USSR, and I would say we're so damn close to it you can't see straight. There isn't anything in your life that isn't touched by some federal regulation somehow or some way. Sorry,
no, you're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's gone off the rails. It touches every aspect of your life, and it's been 100 years in the making, and you're not going to unmake it in one day. But now's the time to unmake it. Now people are waking up, and things are starting to happen. I mean, they've never pushed so hard for a war and not gotten it before with support. I mean, you know, 9%, that's ridiculous. And
well,
what you need
England
to do,
was what 17? It was like 250 years ago was the last time that the House voted against it.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's so this is the moment now to inform people and to put the pressure on. And the important thing is, you know, you pick your winners and you pick your losers. Now, does that mean you agree with everything they said? Do you have to like Rand Paul on every issue? Do you have to agree with Ted Cruz on every issue? No. But you have to know that they are standing up for the Constitution, and you've got to help them while putting down people like King and Chris Christie and Jihad Jane McCain and Lindsey Light as Loafers Graham and that useless piece of beef jerky who's going to try to fuck up the entire session of the House on September 10th. You got to put pressure on these bastards. No amnesty bill. You got to tell them no continuing resolution if it funds Obamacare. You've got to tell them no on the war with Syria, no on all of this crap, no on making Larry Summers the next, you know, chairman of the Fed. I mean, you've got to push them on these things. And to that end, and we're going to do a special couple of special shows on this probably midweek. Keep an eye on our Facebook page and Blog Talk Radio page for announcements. But Ted Cruz is championing a Gingrich-esque conservative revolution by defunding Obamacare. Now, the Republicans have voted, like, I don't know, 50-some times on this, knowing that they'll never get the votes to actually defund the thing. It's just symbolic that they can go back home and say, I stood up against Obamacare, vote for me, I'm a conservative, when they knew that it wasn't going to happen. But this time it can happen, and the pussies are waffling. And Boehner doesn't want to do it because he's afraid of, you know, being blamed for shutting down the government. Do you really think that with the way that things are going right now, Americans across the political divide, if the government was shut down, wouldn't be cheering because it's so friggin' annoying and pervasive and destructive? So I want everybody to go and share this. I want you to sign this petition, and I want you to share it. It's at don'tfundobamacare.com. One word, no hyphen, no apostrophe. Don'tfundobamacare.com. There are currently 998,898 signatures. We've got to hit a million.
No, don't fund it.
Don'tfundit.com. There's 29 days left before Obamacare goes full balls to the wall, and this is not about health care. This is about taking away your liberty. It is about destroying the Constitution. The continuing resolution that's coming up, because there is no budget, because Harry Reid is such a fucking pussy, and Obama is just spending $1 trillion that we don't have, and Bernanke's funneling it to him by $85 billion a month of Treasury and mortgage-backed securities purchases, devaluing your dollar at a pace that you can't imagine. And now with all this crazy shit going on in Syria, oil prices are going to rise. You're about to get raped at the pump, and your dollar is going to be worth less. Okay, with all of this stuff going on, they have a continuing resolution to fund the government. What Ted Cruz is proposing, and he's got counterparts in the House that are ready to do it, and you've got to pressure Boehner on this, is to fund the government using the continuing resolution, provided that not one penny goes towards the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. And by defunding it, it'll kill it, and it'll help start the moment where conservatives can actually start doing things that matter. And right now, Obama looks like such a pussy. He's on his heels. This is the time to put that guy down. But you can't do it as long as the rhinos and the Republican Party are providing him with cover. So you've got to champion this. So I want everybody to get this out. Go to the website, tweet it, Facebook it, sign it, make sure people do it. Let's get over a million now. We want to make sure that we hit 3 million by the time they come back in session. It's key. It is very key, and we'll be doing a show about this because it's not about health care. Don't buy that crap. So go there. Support Ted Cruz's initiative. Don't fund Obamacare. Don'tfundit.com. Go there right now and tell everybody about it and get everybody involved.
You know, there's something I want to throw in here in terms of a tone and to understand something. Remember how fired up we were? I mean, remember how depressed everybody was that Obama won the first time, and then the Tea Party rises up, and they had this massive, wave of success across the country, and it was such a powerful movement, and how fired up people were, and then the left and the rhinos and the RNC and people like Rove and Romney and all those groups of people, they started, you know, helping the left destroy the Tea Party. The reason is because these people are all these corporatist shills. They've been in there for 20, 30, 40 years in power. They don't live in the real world. They've made their wealth because they're in government. And they're all the same people. They're all progressives. And so I've said this over and over and over again. When somebody stands up, whether it be King or McCain or Boehner, when they stand up and they stand against what you want done, why did you vote those Tea Party people in the first place, or conservatives, people who want change, or whether it's, you know, whoever it is? You have to look at those people, realize that you can't look at the R&D. That person is a traitor to what you believe, and they have to be ousted in 2014 and 2016 if they're not up until 2016 like McCain, because you're voting for a Democrat. That's essentially what you're doing. And for years and years and years, we voted these people into power. You know, and I always talk about, you know, oust all Bush-era rhinos. And really, it's progressives. They're the same people. You will never win this war against the liberal socialists who are trying to, you know, essentially destroy this economy and merge it into some, you know, globalist thing. But you will never win this war if you have traitors on your side. And if anybody who understands combat, you could have 100 guys across the line staring at you with a gun, and one traitor in your ranks with a gun where your guard is down is more dangerous than those 100 guys across the line. You know, you have to know who your enemy is. And if you want to win the war, you have to clean
you know, and a lot of people, some people don't think the Republican Party, you know, is salvageable, and you know, you get off into these conversations, and I've always had this mindset that parties aren't evil, people are. You know, you have to look at the people who are fighting for the core values. I don't care if they're an independent, a libertarian, a Constitution Party, Republican, or even a Democrat. If they're fighting, if they fight for the Constitution and they have sanity, I can't imagine being a Democrat, but, you know, there's a few of them that are decent people. But, you know, you have to vote for the person and quit voting for the jersey, because voting for jerseys, playing this left-right paradigm, playing this American political idol is why we are here. And I can honestly say I'm guilty of that through a big chunk of my lifetime, you know, just voting Republican and going, okay, well, that's my side. And, you know, they stand for smaller government and low taxes. And, well, and really the platform is what I believe in. The problem is there's a whole bunch of people in the party who don't follow the platform. And they've been in there too damn long. They need to go. They need to be replaced. We need more people like Cruz and Rand Paul and Amash and the rest, and Gowdy and the rest of them, you know. These are some people who, and Massey, people who are fighting for those core values. You know, it's kind of that, and I don't want to say that isolationism, but it's kind of like that, leave me alone. You know, the government passes 300 laws, and all the different agencies pass 3,000. I mean, that's the most unconstitutional crap I've ever heard in my life. Who set up all these different organizations?
Well, that's the whole point. That's the way they do it, Chris. You nailed the point, and we'll probably do that on a future show. But the simple fact is that Congress doesn't have the power. We never gave them the authority to delegate their legislative power. They can't give it to the president through executive orders. They can't give it through entrenched governmental agencies through regulatory power. They don't have that authority, but that's how they've done it. And they've managed to bypass the Constitution, which is still the supreme law of the land, by simply in the laws that they pass and the bills that they pass saying Secretary of HHS shall determine X, Secretary of EPA shall determine X. And so they keep giving away their legislative authority.
All of this stuff.
And that's illegal and it's unconstitutional, and we have to stop it. Now, it's not going to stop overnight, but the important thing to remember, we're going to
crash.
Well, I mean, you know, that could happen. But the simple fact is that, you know, our focus tonight was, you know, this whole Syria thing. Well, what's important to understand about this, and I'm going to give you final thoughts right after this. What's important to understand about this is not about Syria. That's what you people have to understand. That's what you have to tell everybody else. This is about taking you down. Syria is the distraction to get you off Obamacare. It's to get you off amnesty. It's to get you off the financial collapse, to get you off the quantitative easing. It's to get you off all the scandals, the IRS investigations, all that stuff. That's what it's about. And the fact is that Obama's realized that he doesn't have the support and he can't do this without Congress. And so now we got these 10 days, and you got to watch out for that false flag so that he can go ahead and say it's now an imminent threat, we're going forward. Inform people and get the word out there. That's the key. So, you know, let's start wrapping it up, Chris. Why don't we go ahead and go to your final thoughts, and then I'll close it out.
Well, I think you nailed it, you know, that you've got to – when you look at any given – and I don't – Syria is not a distraction to me. It may be being used as a distraction right now, but Syria is an important situation going on in the world because of the things that it's exposing, you know, in terms of what our government's doing. – We didn't even get in a lot of detail on a lot of it. But, you know, the distraction is when you get caught up in what the media is telling you is important. You know, Syria is not important because of what the MSN or Fox News is telling you or King or any of the rest of them. Syria is important because of what it means in terms of the bigger picture with Russia and Iran and everything else. So, you know, you have to educate yourself. The important things, I mean, it's like the NSA issue. I mean, people are just going to roll over. They made a bunch of noise about it, and it's like nobody's talking about it anymore. What, are they just going to keep doing it, and people are going to let them? You know, the IRS situation, I saw a little piece on Fox News when I was passing today that the American Legion's being attacked by the IRS now. The American Legion! You know, and you go, is anybody paying attention to this stuff anymore? These are important issues, and there is an abuse. Obamacare, it's a huge issue, and they are losing. Obamacare is falling apart. Even the guy that wrote it said this is a train wreck, and yet they're still holding on to it. Why? They already know it's a failure, but they know that it's a battle zone where they can keep everybody engaged while they're pushing something else down your throat, like the fact that we're, you know, what was it? 2 months ago, we crossed the debt ceiling, and yet the debt ceiling hasn't gone up. Well, where in the hell is the money coming from? You know, I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
It's coming from the
yeah, really. Yeah. And so when you see these types of things, you have to step back and go, what's the real important issue here? We're broke. Both sides have run us into the ground. The whole Middle East was a debacle. It was never well planned out. And then when they realized that it was a failed situation, you know, they didn't make good decisions back then. You know, we're paying the price for this, and we're still involved and sticking our fingers in other people's eyes, and we shouldn't be. You know, we're trying to fix the world when we need to be fixing our own country. And I talked about the Russia situation earlier. One of the reasons that Russia's doing so well, I mean, 8%. Can you imagine this country right now if we only had an 8% debt-to-GDP ratio in America right now? I mean, I'd be fired up. And so when you look at this kind of these kind of things, you have to say, well, what did they do? Well, what they did was they kind of closed their wall off, and they said, we're going to take care of us. That's really what they did. And they focused on their industry, their natural resources, and they worked hard, and they built trade relationships versus let's invade every country in the world relationship and bully people with our military and our banks. They built real relationships with people. And it's kind of like, well, it's kind of sounds like America in the old days, you know. And you and I, we did that special. I think about it often when we talked about the Republicans of Christmas Past or whatever the title was. But, yeah. You know, the early turn of the century, late 1800s, turn of the century Republicans were very much more like what our founding fathers said. You know, we're a trade, we're an industry, agricultural trade country. And we can fight and kick ass when we need to, but for all intents and purposes, that's not the purpose of America. Well, somewhere, and Eisenhower warned us of this in his outgoing speech, of this new industrial war complex. We have become, I mean, I don't know what percentage, I'd have to look it up, but what percentage of our active economy is the war machine, 25%? You don't know why they want wars. Yeah, no wonder they want wars.
100%
wars.
Everything
we don't
is
make
back.
Anything. Yeah, well, some degree. We don't make anything anymore. When you go to the store and you buy stuff, what's made in America in your basic, you know, commodities and basic products and services? We've shipped our industry overseas. They're trying to bring, you know, make 11 plus million people legal who are illegal while we have 20 million people unemployed and a whole generation of people unemployed and underemployed. And they're trying to legalize and you go, are you freaking kidding me? You know, and at the same time, and now we're trying to escalate ourselves into another war, and you're like, are you kidding me? And this is common ground for people on the right and the left. There are people who are just, it's bad enough where people are going to start voting, they're going to start asking the tough questions and start voting for people who will quit playing games with our Constitution, because that's the document that controls the overreach of power. And that's the thing that's been being abused for the last 50, 60 years or longer. You could argue when, it, you know, your point. But definitely since the 60s, it's been the worst and an accelerated pace with all these departments and endless wars and things like that. So really what we're boiling down to is – you know, we're definitely at a crossroads, Rex. I mean, you and I talk about this stuff all the time. And I don't know. I mean, I think about it. We, you know, you talk about we're trying to get to a million people on defund it, you know, on that petition,
yeah. Yep.
Defunding Obamacare. And I think about Egypt, and I'm thinking 23 million people signed a petition to get Morsi out of power. 23 million people got up and said, we're not going to Islamic Sharia law state. That is not why we have the original revolution. And a democratic process was not to be taken over by Islamists.
They were feeling much more pain than we are. That's why. They were feeling much more pain than we are. But the pain's coming. If we don't act now, the pain's coming.
Oh, yeah. I cannot fathom. I don't even want to get into financial stuff, you know, tonight. But, you know, with the way they're printing money,
no.
You and I have talked about a lot of this stuff. But
we're wrapping it up.
People have no clue.
We'll do that on another show. Yeah, we'll do that on another
show. And we
show.
Probably
no,
should
those,
do a show on that.
We will. We will. No. Actually, you know, we got lots of stuff to talk about. It's hard to get it all out in 2 hours, but all good points, and I agree with you 100%, and it all ties in together. And I think that your point is extremely correct about the fact is that the only thing that we make in America these days is war, which is why we've got, you know, we got to fire the Raytheon missiles, you know, at Syria so that we can build more of them and then borrow more money.
$500 million contract to replace those missiles.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the name of the game.
Fueling those boats.
People got to understand these things. The don'tfundit.com right now has just over 999,000 signatures. So, you know, before I close out, let's get it up to a million. Spread it, tweet it, Facebook it, share it, sign it, make it happen. This is important stuff. We're talking about Syria, okay? And going to war in Syria. Well, technically, we're already at war in Syria because we're supporting al-Qaeda. Now, the question is, are we going to start firing missiles to take out Assad's air defenses so that the terrorists, jihadis, can be emboldened and fight his army more effectively? Well, come hell or high water, the neocons, the banksters, and Obama want this. Congress is not likely to authorize this, at least not now. They're probably whipping up the votes as we speak, but they're not coming back till the 10th. They can't wait that long to make this happen. So they're going to give some kind of trigger to let Obama go forward and make this public relations show that's going to cost lives and cost you money. Watch for it.
They'll probably
launch
more chemicals.
Exactly. Educate others. Watch for some kind of fake Syrian-originated Hezbollah attack in Israel, or some kind of action somewhere in Europe or in Great Britain. Keep your eyes open. Get people informed so that people don't get frightened, get emotional, and actually get behind this war, because this won't be about Syria. It'll quickly escalate to Russia, China, Iran, Jordan, Iraq. It literally is an Archduke, you know, Ferdinand moment, like in 1914 that triggered World War I. That's how delicate this is, and these idiots like Jihad Jane McCain and Peter Hardon for War King are fucking around with something that could be absolutely disastrous. It'll skyrocket your oil prices. The Straits of Hormuz will close. With the chaos in Egypt, the Suez will close. You'll end up paying $10, $11, $12 at the pump. It'll shut down our economy. Then you'll have the Obamacare on top of it, which will skyrocket your health care prices. It'll be a disaster. That's how delicate the situation is. Call your congressmen. Call your senators. Tell them no war in Syria. It doesn't benefit the United States in any way, shape, or form. Don't waste time. I know it's Labor Day weekend. You got the barbecues, the ball games, all the, you know, swimming at the pool and all that stuff. Take the time to call these people. Send them an email, tweet them, Facebook them. You have to make it happen and educate others so that they know about it. It is up to you, okay? Very important things are happening, and what you have to understand is we're really not talking merely about all of the scandals and the distractions and using the war in Syria as a distraction. We're talking about the fundamental principles of who we are as a republic. And the thing to remember is that the president doesn't have the authority to do this unilaterally. And in fact, even to some degree, Congress can't do it unilaterally if it is not in our interest. If 90% of Americans don't want this, you can't have 535 assholes just decide that we're going to go to war. There is a very specific power that we've delegated to them for very specific things. But ultimately, the Constitution, as Chris said earlier, would never be the form of government under which we live if not for that Bill of Rights, specifically Amendment 10. Which reads, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. You are the sovereign. That means that you have sovereign liberty and you have sovereign responsibility and a duty to exercise limits on those whom you delegate power to. Take action and get others involved. And keep in mind, when it comes to war, what James Madison said. The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature. Tell your legislatures, no war in Syria. Quit screwing around with things that are a hornet's nest that could be absolutely disastrous. Do not make our young men and women the fucking Air Force for organ-eating jihadi fucking terrorists, okay? That's what you tell them. You do it now. You get others to do it. You keep doing it, and you sign that petition at don'tfundit.com, because if Obamacare comes online, kiss your ass goodbye. It's not about health care. It's about liberty, okay? That's how important these things are. And we're going to try to bring you four special midweek shows, probably Thursday nights at 10. Keep an eye on the Tex and Rex Show Facebook page, specifically talking about the effects of this health care and why this is a moment, like we saw in 1995, when Newt Gingrich, a Speaker of the House, forced Bill Clinton to shut down the government because he wouldn't give him what he wanted, and that forced Bill Clinton to the right. And at that time, and you've got to know this history, and we're going to do the shows on it, they stopped the precursor to Obamacare, which was called Hillary Care. They reformed an entitlement program to actually help people and cost less. They shut down several government departments. We got four balanced budgets out of it. Now, granted, they were baseline balanced budgets, which is complete bullshit as far as Washington, D.C. goes, but those are the closest thing you've seen to a balanced budget in the last 60 years. And we got the biggest capital gains tax cut in history, which spurred growth in our market and innovation in our industries. These are the kinds of things that can happen going forward if you eliminate the progressive asshole who thinks he's a dictator and his rhino counterparts that are giving him cover. It's up to you to do it. So tune in for that, and we'll be back again next Sunday at 10, bringing you even more information. In the meantime, no war in Syria. Don'tfundit.com. And as crazy as things seem to be right now, this is the moment and this is the time when we're going to restore the republic. So get busy, get hopeful. It'll probably get worse before it gets better, but we're going to turn it around. This is Tex and Trog signing off.
And the flames of liberty never die.